Thank you for joining us on the Mormon Channel Relief Society program from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, we will focus on highlights from the April 2012 General Conference. President Uchtdorf says, "Because Heavenly Father loves His children, He has not left them to walk through this mortal life without direction and guidance. The teachings of our Heavenly Father are not the ordinary, predictable, run-of-the-mill kind you can pick up in a paperback at the local bookstore. They are the wisdom of an all-powerful, all-knowing celestial being who loves His children. Encompassed in His words is the secret of the ages, the key to happiness in this life and in the world to come." In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, we read that Heavenly Father reveals this wisdom to His children on earth through His servants, the prophets. Today is not different from ages past. The Lord does not love the people of our day any less than in past times. One of the glorious messages of the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ is that God continues to speak to His children. He is not hidden in the heavens, but speaks today as He did in ancient days. President Monson expresses how great it is that we are here today involved in the Lord's great work.
Wherever it's found, how blessed we are to have come to earth at such a time as this. Marvelous time in a long history of the world. We cannot all be together under one roof, but we now have the ability to partake of the proceedings of this conference through the wonders of television, radio, cable, satellite transmission, and the internet, even on mobile devices. We come together as one, speaking many languages, living in many lands, but all of one faith and one doctrine and one purpose. From a small beginning, 182 years ago, our presence is now felt throughout the world. This great cause in which we're engaged will continue to go forth, changing and blessing lives as it does so. No cause, no force in the entire world can stop the work of God. Despite what comes, this great cause will go forward. You recall the prophetic words of the prophet Joseph Smith. No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing. Persecutions may rage. Mobs may combine. Armies may assemble. Calumny may defame. But the truth of God will go forth boldly, nobly, and independent till it has penetrated every continent, visited every clime, swept every country, and sounded in every ear, till the purposes of God shall be accomplished, and the great Jehovah shall say, "The work is done."
Sister Beck speaks of Relief Society as a divinely inspired organization that will help us to accomplish this great work as we apply its purpose.
Relief Society is not a program. It is an official part of the Lord's church that is divinely ordained of God to teach, strengthen, and inspire sisters in their purpose regarding faith, family, and relief. Relief Society is a way of life for Latter-day Saint women, and its influence extends beyond a Sunday class or a social gathering. It follows the pattern of female disciples who served with the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles in His ancient church. We have been taught that it is as obligatory upon a woman to draw into her life the virtues that are fostered by the Relief Society as it is an obligation for the men to build into their lives the patterns of character fostered by the priesthood. As sisters become more aligned with the purposes of Relief Society, the vision of the prophets will be fulfilled. President Spencer W. Kimball said, "There is a power in this organization of Relief Society that has not yet been fully exercised to strengthen the homes of Zion and build the kingdom of God, nor will it until both the sisters and the priesthood catch the vision of Relief Society. He prophesied that much of the major growth that is coming to the church in the last days will come because many of the good women of the world, in whom there is often an inner sense of spirituality, will be drawn to the church in large numbers. This will happen to the degree that the women of the church are seen as distinct and different in happy ways from the women of the world.
As women, we do have a great responsibility to be a light to the world, to lead others to Christ, and help them fulfill their divine potential. Sister Dalton teaches about this great calling.
The call to arise and shine forth is a call to each of you to lead the world in a mighty cause, to raise the standard and lead this generation in virtue, purity, and temple worthiness. If you desire to make a difference in the world, you must be different from the world. I echo the words of Joseph F. Smith, who said to the women of his day, "It is not for you to be led by the young women of the world. It is for you to lead the young women of the world in everything that is purifying to the children of men." These words ring true today. As daughters of God, you were born to lead. In the world in which we live, your ability to lead will require the guidance and constant companionship of the Holy Ghost, who will tell you all things what ye should do as you recognize and rely on his guidance and promptings. And since the Holy Ghost does not dwell in unclean temples, each of us will need to take inventory of our habits and our hearts. All of us will need to change something, to repent. As King Lamoni's father stated in the Book of Mormon, "I will give away all my sins to know thee." Are we, you and I, willing to do the same?
Are we willing to do all that we can to follow Christ, to be an example to others? One of the most important places for us to be an example and a light of Christ is in our own homes. Sister Esplin reminds us of this great responsibility to raise children in righteousness.
Our children are an heritage of the Lord. He knows and loves each one with perfect love. What a sacred responsibility Heavenly Father places upon us as parents to partner with Him in helping His choice spirits become what He knows they can become. This divine privilege of raising our children is a much greater responsibility than we can do alone without the Lord's help. He knows exactly what our children need to know, what they need to do, and what they need to be to come back into His presence. He gives mothers and fathers specific instruction and guidance through the Scriptures, His prophets, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching our children to understand is more than just imparting information. It's helping our children get the doctrine into their hearts in a way that it becomes part of their very being and is reflected in their attitudes and behavior throughout their lives. We can know our children are beginning to understand the doctrine when we see it revealed in their attitudes and actions without external threats or rewards. As our children learn to understand gospel doctrines, they become more self-reliant and more responsible. They become part of the solution to our family challenges and make a positive contribution to the environment of our home. We will teach our children to understand as we take advantage of every teaching situation, invite the Spirit, set the example, and help them live what they learn.
As we work to teach our children and build strong families of faith, we will have the key to bringing light into a world of darkness. Elder Ballard says,
"Brothers and sisters, the most important cause of our lifetime is our families. If we will devote ourselves to this cause, we will improve every other aspect of our lives and will become as a people and as a church an example and a beacon for all peoples of the earth."
Through that light that comes as our families live the gospel and share it with others, Elder Colliker teaches us that we will begin to feel ultimate joy, which is manifested in the love of God.
The feeling of love from our Heavenly Father is like a gravitational pull from heaven. As we move the distractions that pull us towards the world and exercise our agency to seek Him, we open our hearts to a celestial force which draws us to Him. Because of the heaven-designed pattern of the family, we more fully understand how our Heavenly Father truly loves each of us equally and fully.
The family is the central unit of Heavenly Father's plan and will lead us to eternal life, to enjoy true happiness now and in eternity. It's well worth the fight against Satan, who is trying to destroy families, even if you're doing it alone. Elder Baxter directs his thoughts towards those who may find themselves parenting alone and admonishes them not to give up.
My message is for the single parents in the church, the majority of whom are single mothers. You valiant women who, through the varying circumstances of life, find yourselves raising children and running a home on your own. Perhaps you have been widowed or divorced. You may be coping with the challenges of single parenthood as a result of taking a wrong turn outside of marriage, but now living within the framework of the gospel, having turned your life around. Bless you for avoiding the type of companionship that would come at the expense of a virtue and discipleship. That would be far too high a price to pay. Although you may at times have asked, why me? It is through the hardships of life that we grow towards Godhood, as our character is shaped in the crucible of affliction, as the events of life take place, while God respects the agency of man. As Elder Neil A. Maxwell commented, we cannot do all the sums or make it all add up because we do not have all of the numbers. This is not exactly what you hoped or planned, prayed for, or expected when you started out years ago. Your journey through life has had bumps, detours, twists, and turns, mostly as the result of a life in a fallen world that is meant to be a place of proving and testing. Meanwhile, you are striving to raise your children in righteousness and truth, knowing that while you cannot change the past, you can shape the future. Along the way, you will obtain compensatory blessings, even if they are not immediately apparent. With God's help, you need not fear for the future. Your children will grow up and call you blessed, and every single one of their many achievements will stand as a tribute to you. Please never feel that you're in some kind of second-tier subcategory of church membership, somehow less entitled to the Lord's blessings than others. In the kingdom of God, there are no second-class citizens. We hope that when you attend meetings and see seemingly complete and happy families, or hear someone speak of family ideals, you will feel glad to be part of a church that does focus on families and teaches of their central role in Heavenly Father's plan for the happiness of His children, that in the midst of world calamity and moral decay, we have the doctrine, authority, ordinances, and covenants that do hold out the best hope for the world, including for the future happiness of your children and the families they will create.
As we exercise faith in the Lord during our greatest trials and struggles, He is able to shape and refine us. It's easy to get discouraged during these moments or with your circumstance and compare yourselves to others who seem to have it easier. Elder Holland warns us that it's not a race against each other, it's a race against sin.
Brothers and sisters, there are going to be times in our lives when someone else gets an unexpected blessing or receives some special recognition. May I plead with us not to be hurt and certainly not to feel envious when good fortune comes to another person. We are not diminished when someone else is added upon. We're not in a race against each other to see who's the wealthiest or the most talented or the most beautiful or even the most blessed. The race we are really in is the race against sin, and surely envy is one of the most universal of those. Furthermore, envy is a mistake that just keeps on giving. Obviously, we suffer a little when some misfortune befalls us, but envy requires us to suffer all good fortune that befalls everyone we know. What a bright prospect that is. Downing another quart of pickle juice every time anyone around you has a happy moment. To say nothing of the chagrin in the end when we find that God really is both just and merciful, giving to all who stand with him all that he hath, as the scripture says. So, lesson number one from the Lord's vineyard: coveting, pouting, or tearing others down does not elevate your standing, nor does demeaning someone else improve your self-image. So be kind and be grateful that God is kind. It is a happy way to live. The formula of faith is to hold on, work on, see it through, and let the distress of earlier hours, real or imagined, fall away in the abundance of the final reward. Don't dwell on old issues and grievances, not toward yourself, nor your neighbor, nor even, I might add, toward this true and living church. The majesty of your life, of your neighbor's life, and of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be made manifest at the last day, even if such majesty is not always recognized by everyone in the early going. So don't hyperventilate about something that happened at 9 o'clock in the morning, when the grace of God is trying to reward you at 6 in the evening, whatever your labor arrangements have been through the day. We consume such precious emotional and spiritual capital, clinging tenaciously to the memory of a discordant note we struck in a childhood piano recital, or something a spouse said or did 20 years ago that we're determined to hold over his or her head for another 20. Or an incident in church history that proved no more or less than that mortals will always struggle to measure up to the immortal hopes placed before them. Even if one of those grievances did not originate with you, it can end with you. And what a reward there will be for that contribution when the Lord of the vineyard looks you in the eye and accounts are settled at the end of our earthly day. I do not know who in this vast audience today may need to hear the message of forgiveness inherent in this parable, but however late you think you are, however many chances you think you've missed, however many mistakes you feel you've made, or talents you think you don't have, or distance from home and family and God you feel you have traveled, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines. Whether you are not yet of our faith, or were once with us and have not remained, there is nothing in either case you have done that cannot be undone. There is no problem which you cannot overcome. There is no dream that in the unfolding of time and eternity cannot yet be realized. Even if you feel you are the lost and last laborer of the 11th hour, the Lord of the vineyard still stands beckoning. Come boldly to the throne of grace and fall at the feet of the Holy One of Israel. Come and feast without money and without price at the table of the Lord. my beloved brothers and sisters, to those of you who've been blessed by the gospel for many years because you were fortunate enough to find it early, and to those of you who've come to the gospel by stages and phases later, and finally, to those of you, member or not yet member, who may still be hanging back, to each of you, one and all, I testify of the renewing power of God's love and the miracle of His grace. His concern is for the faith at which you finally arrive, not the hour of the day in which you got there. So if you've made covenants, keep them. If you haven't made them, make them. If you've made them and broken them, repent and repair them. It is never too late, so long as the master of the vineyard says there is time. Please listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit telling you right now, this very moment, that you should accept the atoning gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the fellowship of His labor. Don't delay.
Elder Cook also admonishes us to take action and do what we need to do in order to enjoy the companionship of the Spirit and learn of the Savior's atonement, so that we can apply it more fully in our lives.
God loves all His children. He wants all of them to return to Him. He desires everyone to be in tune with the sacred music of faith. The Savior's atonement is a gift for everyone. Clearly a dividing line between those who hear the music of faith and those who are tone deaf or off key is the active study of the Scriptures. I was deeply touched years ago that a beloved prophet, Spencer W. Kimball, emphasized the need to continually read and study the Scriptures. He said, "I find that when I get casual in my relationships with Affinity, and when it seems that no divine ear is listening and no divine voice is speaking, that I am far, far away, if I immerse myself in the Scriptures, the distance narrows and the spirituality returns." End of quote.
We don't ever want to distance ourselves from the Spirit. Its guidance is what helps us to resist temptation, become more like Christ, and receive personal revelation. We need the Spirit to progress. Elder Scott testifies of this divine power and how it's up to us to be worthy of it and to ask for this divine guidance.
One of the great lessons that each of us needs to learn is to ask. Why does the Lord want us to pray to Him and to ask? Because that is how revelation is received. When I'm faced with a very difficult matter, this is how I try to understand what to do. I fast. I pray to find and understand Scriptures that will be helpful. That process is cyclical. I start reading a passage of Scripture. I ponder what the verse means. I pray for information, inspiration. I then ponder and pray to know if I have captured all the Lord wants me to do. Often more impressions come with increased understanding of doctrine. I have found that pattern to be a good way to learn from the Scriptures. The Scriptures give eloquent confirmation of how truth consistently lived opens the door to inspiration to know what to do, and where needed, to have personal capacities enhanced by divine power. The Scriptures depict how an individual's capacity to conquer difficulty, doubt, and seemingly insurmountable challenges is strengthened by the Lord in time of need. As you ponder such examples, there will come a quiet confirmation through the Holy Spirit that their experiences are true. You will come to know that similar help is available to you.
The Lord's help is always available to us, but it is up to us to reach out and allow the tools He's provided to work in our lives. Sometimes we get going so fast with the pace of life, and we forget to take the time necessary to open the door to the Savior and remind us of what's most important. President Monson warns us that this can easily distract us from our ultimate goal.
Everywhere people are in a hurry. Jet-powered aircraft speed their precious human cargo across broad continents and vast oceans so that business meetings might be attended, obligations met, vacations enjoyed, or families visited. Roadways everywhere, including freeways, throughways, and motorways, carry millions of automobiles occupied by more millions of people. In a seemingly endless stream, and for a multitude of reasons, as we rush about the business of the day. In this fast-paced life, do we ever pause for moments of meditation, even thoughts of endless and timeless truths? When compared to eternal verities, most of the questions and concerns of daily living are they really rather trivial? What should we have for dinner? What color should we paint the living room? Should we sign Johnny up for soccer? These questions and countless others like them lose their significance when times of crisis arise, when loved ones are hurt or injured, when sickness enters the house of good health, when life's candle dims and darkens and darkness threatens. Our thoughts become focused. We're easily able to determine what is really important and what is merely trivial. It is the celestial glory which we seek. It is in the presence of God we desire to dwell. It is a forever family in which we want membership. Such blessings are earned through a lifetime of striving, seeking, repenting, and finally succeeding. Our Heavenly Father did not launch us on our eternal voyage without providing the means whereby we could receive from Him guidance to ensure our safe return. I speak of prayer. I speak too of the whisperings from that still small voice. And I do not overlook the Holy Scriptures, which contain the word of the Lord and the words of the prophets provided to us to help us successfully cross the finish line.
There is a way to the finish line, but we cannot make it there on our own. We must always strive to build our faith in the Savior and His atonement, constantly realigning our own will with His will. Elder Anderson testifies of the strength that comes as we work together in faith.
Wherever you now find yourself on the road to discipleship, you are on the right road, the road toward eternal life. Together, we can lift and strengthen one another in the great and important days ahead. Whatever the difficulties confronting us, the weaknesses confining us, or the impossibilities surrounding us, let us have faith in the Son of God who declared, "All things are possible to him that believeth." I testify that as you love him, trust him, believe him, and follow him, you will feel his love and approval. As you ask, "What thinks Christ of me?" you will know that you are his disciple. You are his friend. By his grace, he will do for you what you cannot do for yourself.
As we strive to work together and build our faith in the Savior, we can become disciples of Jesus Christ. And this should be our lifetime pursuit. We must constantly learn from our leaders, study the scriptures, pray always, and continue to do the things that will keep us on the path to discipleship. We can never let our guard down because we will be tempted to give in to the natural man and follow the easy path when this road gets difficult to endure. We may even find ourselves responding to situations and to others with contention and judgment. Exactly the opposite of how a disciple of Jesus Christ would act. President Uchtdorf gives us wise counsel to follow when we find ourselves giving in.
I imagine that every person on earth has been affected in some way by the destructive spirit of contention, resentment, and revenge. Perhaps there are even times when we recognize this spirit in ourselves, when we feel hurt, angry, or envious. It is quite easy to judge other people, often assigning dark motives to their actions in order to justify our own feelings of resentment. This topic of judging others could actually be taught in a two-word sermon. When it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following. Stop it. It's that simple. We simply have to stop judging others and replace judgmental thoughts and feelings and with a heart full of love for God and His children. God is our Father. We are His children. We are all brothers and sisters. I don't know exactly how to articulate this point of not judging others with sufficient eloquence, passion, and persuasion to make it stick. I can quote scripture, I can try to expound doctrine, and I will even quote a bumper sticker I recently saw. It was attached to the back of a car whose driver appeared to be a little rough around the edges. But the words on the sticker taught an insightful lesson. It read, "Don't judge me because I sin differently than you." We must recognize that we are all imperfect, that we are beggars before God. Haven't we all, at one time or another, meekly approached the mercy seat and pleaded for grace? Haven't we wished with all the energy of our souls for mercy, to be forgiven for the mistakes we have made and the sins we have committed? Because we all depend on the mercy of God, how can we deny to others any measure of the grace we so desperately desire for ourselves? My beloved brothers and sisters, should we not forgive as we wish to be forgiven?
As we treat others the way we would want to be treated, or the way Christ would treat us, we will feel the greatest joy and receive our full potential. President Monson testifies of how great we are in the sight of God and how much He has in store for us as we live the gospel.
You are precious, precious daughters of our Heavenly Father, sent to earth at this day and time for a purpose. You've been withheld until this very hour. Wonderful, glorious things are in store for you if you will only believe, obey, and endure.
Thank you for joining us on the Mormon Channel Relief Society program for highlights from the April 2012 General Conference. For more information on this program, visit mormonchannel.org. To share a story or experience with the Mormon Channel, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. This has been a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.